ബിഹാരിയും ഗോപി ജന ബാല ഭാഗരി വരദാരി ഗോപി ജന വല്ലഭ ഗിരിവരധാരി യശോദ നന്ദന ബ്രജ ജന രാജന യശോദ നന്ദന ബ്രജ ജന രാജന യമുനാ തീരാവനാചാരി യമുനാ തീരാവനാചാരി ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ ജയ ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധ മാധവ കി ജയ ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധ ബൃന്ദവൻ ചന്ദ്ര കി ജയ ജഗോ പ്രേമനന്ദി
ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ. വി ആർ വെരി ഫോർച്യുനേറ്റ് ടു ഹാവ് ഹിസ് ഗ്രേസ് കൗന്തേയ പ്രഭു വിത്ത് അസ്. ജസ്റ്റ് എ ഷോർട്ട് ഇൻട്രൊഡക്ഷൻ ഓഫ് പ്രഭുജി. ഹിസ് ഗ്രേസ് കൗന്തേയ പ്രഭു ബോൺ ഇൻ റോം ഇറ്റലി ഇൻ 1963. ഹി ജോയിൻഡ് ഇസ്കോൺ ഇൻ മെയ് 1980. ആഫ്റ്റർ ഇയേഴ്സ് ഓഫ് ഫുൾ ടൈം ബുക്ക് ഡിസ്ട്രിബ്യൂഷൻ ഹി മൂവ് ടു ഇന്ത്യ, where he has been based for 30 years and where he served among other things as Gurukul teacher in Mayapur, teaching Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhav, etc. He is also a certified mediator and has practiced conflict resolution in several countries. He has a PhD in Indo-Vedic psychology and serves as distance learning professor of Indo-Vedic philosophy and psychology at the Bhakti Yoga College, Florida, USA, overseeing students from various continents. He authored or compiled the following books on congregational development: the Bhakti Vriksha Manual, the Book of Icebreakers, and Super Sunday. He has traveled to dozens of countries, often more than once, presenting seminars and workshops on principles and ideas for building vibrant Vaishnava communities. At present, he is serving as co-minister with His Holiness Jayapataka Swami Maharaj, his Diksha Guru of the ISKCON Congregational Development Ministry, co-chairman with His Grace Gopal Bhatta Prabhu of the GBC Organizational Development Committee, trustee and faculty member of the GBC College for Leadership Development, member of the GBC Strategic Planning Team and Strategic Planning Committee for Mayapur. So let us welcome Prabhuji by loudly chanting Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol.
Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter 29. Today, the first verse. ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവയാ. ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവയാ. ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ. പ്രാചീന ഭാര്യർ ഉവാച ഭാഗവാംസ്തേ വാചോസ്മാഭീർ ന സമ്യഗാവഗാമ്യതേ കവയസ്തത് വിജാനന്തി ന വയം കർമ്മ മോഹിതഃ. പ്രാചീന ഭാര്യരുവാച ഭാഗവാംസ്തേ വാചോസ്മാഭീർ ന സമ്യഗാവഗമ്യതേ kavayastadvijananti navayam karma mohita. Matajis, Prachinabharihi uvacha. King Prachinabhari said, Bhagavan, O my Lord, te your vachaha, words, asmabihi, by us, na, never, samyak, perfectly, avagamyate, are understood, kavayaha, those who are expert, tat, that, vijananti, can understand, na, never, vayam, we, karma, by fruitive activities, mohitaha, enchanted. Translation: King Prachinabhari replied, my dear Lord, he is talking with Narada Muni, of course, my dear Lord, we could not appreciate completely the purport of your allegorical story of King Puranjana. Actually, those who are perfect in spiritual knowledge can understand. But for us who are overly attached to fruitive activities, to realize the purpose of your story is very difficult. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In Bhagavad Gita 7:13, Lord Krishna says, Tribir guramayir bhavair ebi sarvam idam jagat mohitam na bijanati mamebhya paramavyayam. Quote, deluded by the three modes, goodness, passion, and ignorance, the whole world does not know me who am above the modes and inexhaustible. Unquote. Generally, people are enchanted by the three modes of material nature and therefore practically unable to understand that behind all materialistic activities in the cosmic manifestation is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Generally, when people are engaged in sinful or pious activities, they are not perfect in knowledge of devotional service. The allegorical story narrated by Narada Muni to King Barishmon is especially meant to engage conditioned souls in devotional service. The entire story narrated allegorically is easily understood by a person in devotional service. But those who are engaged not in devotional service, but in sense gratification, cannot perfectly understand it. That is admitted by King Barishmon. This 29th chapter describes that by too much attachment for women, one becomes a woman in the next life. But a person who associates with the Supreme Personality of Godhead or his representative becomes free from all material attachments and is thus liberated. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Giranjana Salakaya Chakshuram Litamiena Tasmai Shri Guru Nama Shubhaya Vishnu. Namom Vishvadaya Krishna Pristaya Budale Shimade Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Ti Namne Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gurbani Pacharine నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పశ్చాత్యదేశ తారిణే వాంఛకల్ప రూపశ కృప సింధువే చ పతితనాం భవనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమః. Translation again, if you like to repeat. King Prachinabari replied, "My dear Lord, we could not appreciate completely the purport of your allegorical story of King Puranjana. Actually, those who are perfect in spiritual knowledge can understand. But for us, who are overly attached to fruitive activities, to realize the purpose of your story is very difficult." This is the same situation that preachers face in every age, in every circumstances. We have a message, but that message is not too easy to understand. It's interesting that Srila Prabhupada starts this purport with this verse where Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that deluded by the three modes, people don't understand me. When above the modes, and is inexhaustible. Mohitam nabi janati, because they're bewildered, they don't know me. It's interesting because the Puranjana story doesn't talk too much directly about Krishna, but ultimately, Krishna consciousness movement means to understand Krishna. International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And Krishna is the most difficult subject. There's no more difficult subject. Because Krishna includes all other subjects. So, we are supposed to present Krishna, the most difficult subject, to people variegatedly qualified. Some people are more ready, some people are less ready. Here, Prachinabhari is obviously not ready to grasp even the story of Puranjana, which is pretty didactic, it's pretty straightforward. I mean, the analogy are not too complex in one sense. But he's qualified, at least as a student, because he has a lot of respect for Narada Muni. Oh, he calls him Bhagavan, oh my Lord. So he has a lot of respect. He may not know the intricacies of spiritual life, but he can recognize a true sadhu, a true Muni, a true guru. So that's his qualification. And also, his qualification is that he's humble. He's asking. I couldn't figure out what you're talking about. It's not. He's been talking. But Narada Muni is talking already since 25, 26, 27, 28. He's talking since four chapters. And now in the fifth chapter, he's saying, "Sorry, I didn't understand what you're talking about. Can you explain it better?" So this is a great qualification, because sometimes to show that we understand, we act as if we understand, but sometimes we don't understand. And this is very common, especially, frankly, my experience, don't take it personally, but especially in India. Very often, you say something to somebody, and for whatever reason, maybe the English pronunciation or something, you ask something, and they say, and then you you have some doubt. Do you really understand? And then you figure out that they didn't understand anything of what you said. Do you have this experience? Huh? Like that. So, in spiritual life, we shouldn't be like that. We shouldn't be showing that we understood. And if we did not understand, we should say, can you explain it again? Srila Prabhupada in Bhagavad Gita says that Lord Krishna, after the whole Bhagavad Gita, is ready to explain it again, the whole thing. So, it's not a disqualification sometimes not to grasp certain things. It's a disqualification to show that we grasp everything, but we didn't. That's a disqualification. You get the advantage or the benefit of maybe showing off, but then you actually miss the whole point. Imagine King Prashinabhari telling Narada Muni at this point, thank you very much. Your story was so rich of meaning, and I'm very grateful for these teachings. Thank you very much. So, thank you. Anything else, Maharaj? No? So, okay. Please come back again. So then, he would not have understood the meaning. So, Narada Muni, we see Narada Muni dealing with a number of interlocutors, speaking with a number of people, and we see his expertise in dealing with them. And some are really sharp, some are really advanced, and some are not so sharp. And we see how he acts differently with different people. When people are very qualified, already perfect, already pure devotees, he's very straightforward. Like we see him, fifth chapter of first canto, with Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva is his disciple. And Vyasadeva is super qualified, is an avatar. You can't get more qualified than that. I mean, you can get Bhakti Shastri, you can get Bhakti Vaibhav, you can get Bhakti Vedanta, you can get Bhakti Sarvabhauma. You can get a few PhDs from some universities here and there, but you can't get to the level of Vyasadeva. So he's the most qualified, but still, Narada Muni said, look, you didn't describe Lord Krishna's pastime very detailed, not very straightforwardly. You spoke so many things, fruitive activities, this, that. People will take that as important. And therefore, that was not really very smart, very worthwhile. He actually corrects Vyasadeva. Then we see 13th chapter, first canto, when he speaks with Yudhisthira Maharaj. Yudhisthira Maharaj was a little bit disturbed because he got up one morning, he went to Mangalarti, Guru Puja, Tulsi Arti, and then he finds out that there was no Dhritarashtra, no uncles anymore. There was no Dhritarashtra, no Vidura, no Gandhari. And then he was, where they went? And he was a bit disturbed by that, upset. He felt, oh, I failed in my duty to protect them. And then Narada Muni appears, and he is also quite, we could say, heavy. He says, look, in this world, everybody is in the jaw of the serpent of time. Who can protect anybody else? In other words, he said, so you think you're the protector? You're also under time. So he was quite straightforward, quite heavy. But then we see sometimes he deals with less qualified people, like Maharaj Prashinabhari, he's a karmi. And he has to be a little bit more indirect, or he has to use special techniques. Like for instance, at the beginning of the 25th chapter, with through his mystic power, Narada Muni shows to Maharaj Prashinabhari the animals that he killed. He shows, look, These animals are waiting for you to die so that they can take revenge on you. Why? Because Maharaj Parshinabhari needed that PowerPoint. He doesn't show any PowerPoint to Vyasadeva, to Maharaj Yudhisthira. They don't need a PowerPoint. But Maharaj Parshinabhari needed the PowerPoint. They needed to see graphically. And so he shows the PowerPoint. When he deals with Mrigari the hunter, this Mrigari the hunter was really, really at the bottom of the spiritual food chain. He's an aborigine, he's in the forest, and his hobby was to half kill animals. Not kill animals, half killing them. Because he will half kill, and then these animals will wring in pain and will scream, depending on the animals, there's different screamings, of course, but they will scream, they will roll on the floor, pierced by arrows, and he will just enjoy, see, look how it turns around, look at the rabbits, how he's screaming, look at that peacock.
What?
So I didn't understand. Deer, peacocks, even peacocks. Whatever. And he was just having fun. That was his fun. That was his entertainment. No? There was no internet. There was no YouTube. So that was his internet. And then when Narada Muni comes, he tells... He sees, wow, this is a very luminous person, very, very... very enlightened, very grave, very, very beautiful. So he has that sense of awe and reverence. And he says, Narada Muni says, immediately Mrigari offers him something. He offers him some skins, because he has a lot of skins. He kills a lot of animals. House is full of skins. And because that's important for him. And then he offers it to Narada Muni. Can offer you some skins. And Narada Muni say, no thanks. I don't need skins. What Narada Muni is going to do with skins? I remember once we were in Italy in a Sankirtan group. And we rented a house in some town, little town. And we were there for a month. And at the end of the month, locals, somehow they liked the devotees. They saw that they were getting up early and they were joyful. And they saw that they were spiritualists, okay? They were dancing, singing. So they liked the devotees. At the end of the 30 days, we were just about to go, they came with a huge tray of fish. There are fish, different types of fish and crabs, no? Which for them was very valuable, no? Like a honor, us, please take this fish. I said, thank you, but we don't eat fish, we don't eat crabs. No, sorry, but we appreciate. So similarly, the Mrigari was doing the same. So then Narada Muni said, but I can ask you one thing, please. Don't half kill these animals. Just kill them completely. He didn't tell him, become vegetarian, offer food to Krishna. He just said, just kill them. Don't let them suffer so much. Don't torture them. That was the instruction. To Vyasadeva, he said, no, describes, go into samadhi and describe what you see. And to the hunter said, just kill these animals completely. And then the hunter was surprised. Why? What's wrong with that? I mean, my father was doing it. My grandfather was doing it. That's our national sport here in the forest. We just have fun. No, it's not good. And then we know that gradually this Mrigari became totally non-violent to the point of even avoiding stepping on ants. Then there are sharper people, like the Haryaswas, the sons of Daksha. They were doing austerities. So it was, how many were? 60,000? First group was 60,000, second 10,000, right? 10,000, 1,000? Okay. So 10,000 and 1,000. Okay. Thank you. I did not understand. So 10,000 Hariaswas, the sons of Daksha, they were very sharp. They were very, very good brahmacharis. They were doing austerities, but they were doing austerities because they needed to become grihasthas and produce progeny. That was Daksha's plan. And then Narada Muni came, he saw these 10,000 brahmacharis, and he saw, wow, there are more brahmacharis than in the Pune temple, you know. And then he said, why they should go get married and all that? And then he said, he just gave some instruction, very esoteric, very esoteric. It was not an allegory, extended allegory like Puranjana. He just said a few words, and they understood everything. And then they used to have everything, and they say, yeah, we should get out of this, and they just departed. And of course, Daksha was very, very angry. And then he sent 1,000, the Shavalashvas, the second group. And same thing, Narada Muni told the same thing. But to the Shavalashva, he added one, let's say, social or sociological element. He said, look, your brothers, they did also they renounce. You should also follow them. You know, you love them very much, right? You love them very much, right? We love them very much. So you should do the same as they did. How can you do something different from your elder brothers? Right? So you should do whatever they did. So there was an extra argument like that, more emotional argument. And they also follow. And of course, Daksha was very angry and he cursed Narada Muni. But, you know, that's like the professional hazards. No, every work has got some issues. So preachers at time are not too appreciated by relatives of those who they preach to. Of course, we need to consider everything, but it's part of the deal. So these are some considerations on this verse on Narada Muni's preaching to different people. Any questions or comments? Any theme, related theme that you want to explore? Yes? Do we have a mic for you?
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you very much for a nice class. We also feel that...
Nice class. Generally, we say wonderful class. It was only nice.
Okay, wonderful class.
Thank you.
So, we also feel many times that I understood the class. But then in practical life, we see that we are not able to apply it. We fail as far as the application part of the class. Some practical tips that we...
Can you give an example?
Like we hear that overeating should not be done. It is
overeating.
And sometimes later we find we ourselves end up overeating. So then we are put to thinking, what did I learn? So how to see that we are successful in applying the principles that are being heard and we felt that we understood.
See, again, it takes humility, like Maharaj Prashinabhari. It takes humility to say, I really didn't get it. Or even though I might think I got it, but I didn't get it. And so it takes humility to always ask for help. See, in spiritual life, one devotee once said, Ravindra Swarup Prabhu, a spiritual master, a theologian, he was saying how to have a problem is not a problem. It's kind of expected. It would be even strange to see people who don't have any problems. It would be kind of inhuman, no? So to have a problem is not a problem, but the problem is when we don't do anything about that problem, when we hide the problem. Because what happens is that by practicing spiritual life, we acquire a certain status. We get respect from the public, right? I mean, many of you who are dressed as devotees and go preach, they get some respect from certain class of people. If you were not a member of ISKCON, you will not get that respect, right? If you're just being continuing your career, you will not get that respect. But now you get the respect. And also internally to the society, we get some respect. We have some hierarchy. Here we have the yellow, the white, the saffron. What comes first, the yellow, the white? Yellow. Yellow is the bottom of the pile. And joking, they're all great souls. But so, entry level, right? Yellow, then by washing. Are you yellow or white? Huh? No, I'm not sure. It's about to get white, like nature. It's an organic process. Okay. Suddenly you get white. Then one fine day you become saffron. Okay. So definitely there is some internal prestige, right? Then not only saffron, you become senior. Senior means how many years? Because I never understood. Sorry, because it depends where you go. You follow. You go to Alachua, where there are dozens of Srila Prabhupada disciples. Senior means 50 years in the movement. When you are 40 years in the movement, you're still a junior there. When you are 30 years in the movement, you are still a new bhakta. Anyway, so here senior means what? 20, 25? 15 also. Okay, 15. So you become senior. You get some social recognition. And that's fine. That's fine. In the sense we need to honor those who came before us, those who did more service than us. That's natural. But that can become an obstacle for the senior. To be junior, it's easier because you come, you're learning, you're like acquiring knowledge like a sponge, no? You learn classes, learn, you get corrected, and it's you're okay because you agree to this lifestyle, you agree to be corrected. When you're senior, one correction can spoil your whole day, no? Can disturb you. How can he tell to me? How can he tell that to me? The same thing 10 years ago would be normal. But now after 10 years, we built some sort of shield or some sort of ego. Now the famous, what's called the weeds, no, that come along. Like that. So we almost create a protection to being corrected, a protection to be... protection to improve, like that. So, let's see. Everybody may have some obstacle. And if we know we have a problem, we need to speak with somebody we trust, confidentially, like that. Like you're saying, I'm not able to apply this particular thing. Overeating, in particular... Certainly you are not overeating. I mean, look at you. Maybe you should eat a little more. Look at you. You're a bunch of bones. So probably that's not your issue. I don't... So I don't see many overweight people, but you know, there. What does it mean overeating? Means eating more than necessary, but what does it mean necessary, right? Sometimes we eat. There are different natures. There are different natures. Some people eat very little. Naturally, they are satisfied. I know my wife, sometimes she even forgets to eat, which for me is almost inconceivable, because I can forget many things, but not to eat. You know, I mean, I can decide, you know, there is a fasting, I follow, but forgetting to eat for me is like inconceivable. But my wife, sometimes she just forgets. Oh, I didn't take lunch. Oh, yeah, I forgot. Like that. So different. We have different natures, different relation with food. Sometimes we feel we relate to food as an emotional compensation, right? We may be frustrated, a little depressed, so we eat more just to have some taste, because our life stinks. No, our life doesn't stink, but sometimes we perceive it as it stinks. We are a little down, and then at least for a few minutes we can enjoy, right? And so we eat more than really the body requires. So when we talk about overeating, we should see why we are overeating. Maybe we are not eating the right food. There's certain food that never satisfies. Like, for instance, people get addicted to sugar, refined sugar, and they start eating or drinking carbonated drinks with sugar. And basically, there's no end how much sugar-based junk food one can eat, because it never satisfies. But for instance, if you take apples have sugar. But because it's natural sugar, nobody overeats apples, right? Did you ever see somebody eating 20 apples? 10 apples? It's like you don't feel to eat. But junk food, you can eat a lot and you can eat all day, because it never satisfies. So if somebody has an overeating problem, it's not just a question of disciplining the eating, but it's a question of seeing what's the cause. Are you frustrated, or maybe you have some hormonal imbalance? So let's go to the cause of that issue. Okay. Any other question or topic? Yes, can we have a mic?
Yes, I offer you my most humble obeisances.
And I offer my most humble obeisances back to you.
Thank you.
So now we are square.
Now, this question is kind of personal. I'm interested in asking you that.
No, no personal question. Personal question about you or about me?
About yourself. So if you allow me to ask the question, I'd
you're allowed to ask the question. I don't know if I will give you an answer, though. But you try.
So similarly, like Narada Muni interacted with this hunter. I'm curious if you've encountered any examples like that where you encountered the most difficult or the most challenging person to preach, and you did so successfully.
Well, it depends on defining success, you know? Sometimes the maximum success you can have in a relation is to give them prasad. So sometimes if they accept to take a bite of something offered to Krishna, that's already success. So I would say it depends a lot on defining what's the success. It's like when you distribute books. Sometimes you sell full sets, right? Some of you have experience. How many of you distribute sets? Anybody ever distribute a Bhagavatam set? There's nothing to be ashamed of, so you can raise your hand. Okay, so when you disciple Bhagavatam said, you give a lot of knowledge, and obviously there is also an economic reciprocation, so it's a substantial. Sometimes the best you can do is giving a little book, no? A little book. And so it's a question of defining success. Sometimes we do preach somewhat indirectly. We connect to people at their level of needs, at their level of interest. And sometimes the success is when they start seeing the devotees as authorities, at least in certain fields. In other words, just building a reputation as normal people is already a success. Not that they surrender unto you, but they see you as respectable. And depends also on the type of preaching you do. Like, for instance, if you do interfaith, how many of you did ever interfaith, interacting with different religious? Okay. So, when you do interfaith, the goal, the success, is not that the priest becomes, you know, a Vaishnava, shaves up, and it turns from, you know, the black to orange or something. And orange is the new black. Is that, anyway, that's just for Americans. Any American here? Okay, so there is a famous TV series, Orange is the New Black. Forget about that. Don't worry about that. But anyway, so when we're dealing with interfaith, we're not trying to get a Buddhist monk to shave up, also because he's already shaven up complete. So every interaction depends what kind of success you want to. And if you do deal with interfaith, you deal with religious leaders, if they accept you as normal, that you're not a cult, you're a bona fide religion, which here is obvious in India, but in the West it's not. It's not at all obvious that Hare Krishnas are bona fide religion. So if they accept that, it's already a success. No? Dealing with a politician, if you get the permission for Ratha Yatra, that's a success. So every single interaction, the success will be determined by the context. You see, Narada Muni, sometimes he doesn't even preach. When he talks with Kamsa, he doesn't even preach. He doesn't give any next step. He just tries to, precipitate Krishna's appearance. He doesn't really instruct Kamsa. So I would say that the context will determine what kind of success you can get. So, okay? Thank you. Yes, Vice President G.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for this wonderful presentation.
Yes, it was wonderful. I agree.
Actually, you have the mystic power of explaining the very profound and deep and grave topics also in a very lighter manner. Without changing
mystic
the context.
The mystic power?
Of presenting the very deep and the grave subject matters in a way that audience can relate, understand, and, you know, absorb it. So, this question is in relation to, like you were telling about the Indians, even when they don't understand, but they say they do. And something similar happens in our Krishna consciousness also. After spending a few years, maybe a decade or so, then the enthusiasm to hear. Yes.
Uh-huh.
So that reduces, that comes down. Because a person, kind of a devotee, say, I may feel that I already know the thing, I know the context, I have given the class on this topic. So then it is not a good trait. So how do we avoid it and not fall into that trap of losing that enthusiasm to hear or interact or inquire from the speakers?
Okay, one thing is that like we are practicing sadhana, so that includes some discipline. And discipline means either we have a natural attraction or not, we should do certain things, like 16 rounds. We don't depend on attraction or taste, and sometimes there is more taste, sometimes it's more attractive to chant. But regardless, we do chant our 16 rounds. So a good technique is to have quotas, just like we have 16 rounds. Some people have quotas of pages. There is a devotee, a leader, a guru, you know, Vaisheshika Prabhu. He has been here? Okay, so you know him, and he has this program, Be a Sage, Page by Page. How many of you follow that here? You're already sages. So. You do that? Okay. So there is an app you can download, Be a Sage, Page by Page, and it tells you, and you can choose how many pages a day you can do. Like, for instance, you can do the whole Bhagavatam with 41 pages a day in 1 year. 1 year. You start today. Today is the 4th of October. And the 4th of October 2020, you have finished the whole Bhagavatam if you read 41 pages a day. Now, say, okay, if you say, well, 41 is too much for me, you can do in 2 years. So you can regulate. So Bhagavad Gita, Nectar of Devotion. So if we do not have the enthusiasm to hear, and reading is also hearing, it's the same category, of course, is also hearing, is also kirtan, is also smarana, but it's also hearing. And so we can regulate ourselves. And then we also need to see, like overeating. We were talking about overeating. Different people have different style, different attractions. Some people like more type of eating. So we need to also see. Sometimes studying or hearing becomes researching, becomes writing. Maybe you do less reading, more writing. And writing, it's like an intensified concentration on the philosophy, because you need to really absorb it. You really need to understand it. And then you have to represent it in your own words, on paper or on a screen, but in a way that makes sense. So the hearing may take, at one point, may take different shapes. It take the shape of research, may take the shape of writing articles, writing books, writing a diary. So you might explore different forms of hearing, or maybe different personalities, you know, through, you know, YouTube and other sources. You can listen to this Maharaj or that Prabhu, and maybe you find somebody you actually feel inspired to hear. I know myself. I hear from I see different video classes from different people, that, and there are, I admit, and I think it's for everybody, some they inspire me more than others. Some they stimulate me more than others. So you see whom you can actually hear, whom you feel enthusiasm to hear. Srimad Bhagavatam class timings, Monday to Saturday, 8:05 to 8:55 a.m. It's 8:55 a.m. We close here. Thank you very much. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Narada Muni ki jai, Nita Gaur Premanandi.
It's Grace Kante Prabhu ki jai.